Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time. Pivotal Series. Finishing the season. Yeah, you knew that. Let's just get right to it. Let's go to the fan hotline and let's welcome in Guardians manager Stephen Vogt, which you can see our reactions live on YouTube, by the way. This is totally live at 8:40 and 58 seconds if you're counting at home. Hello, Stephen.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. We're doing real well. We're doing well because the Guardians are doing well. First off, how's David Fry doing?
He's doing better. He was able to come into the field yesterday. Really fired the guys up to see him. Obviously, it was a scary moment the other night. But, yeah, he was able to come in, be in the clubhouse for a little while, and then he had to go back home. But he's doing great. He's a tough guy, man. That was ugly.
How well did you know Tarik Skubal before the car ride over to or the truck ride over to the hospital?
Not very well at all. I'd maybe introduced myself or had, you know, informal chit chat maybe two or three times before that, but what a great person to want to go over there and see David right away. So it was really special.
Could you talk about the emotions of that entire day? Because I can't imagine, knowing that it seems like all these games are must win, but that one in particular, the crowd was going absolutely bonkers throughout, and then a hushed silence, you know, befell the entire crowd when that went down. And now you still got to play the game. It's not like they cancel the game or you suspend it for another time when everybody can get their emotions back up to a normal level. What was that like? What were you saying to everybody in that dugout?
Yeah, I mean, it's like any other sport, right? I mean, you guys are football guys. So, you know, anytime there's an incident like that, it's scary. You're thinking about your teammate. You're thinking about everybody involved. And then you got to get right back to playing. So, I was really proud of our guys for locking it right back in, because obviously their hearts are with their teammate who's being carted off. But it's a scary moment, but you got to keep moving, and then you check on them after the game. That's just how it works.
Who told you we're football guys?
Just going out on a limb that, you know, you guys are football guys.
Stephen Vogt joining us here on the show, manager of your Cleveland Guardians. Well, he knows me pretty damn well over here. How do you keep them loose in the month? The month of August, it's like, gosh. And, you know, again, football guys are going to start paying attention to football in the city. And then, everything's just not going the well. And all of a sudden, you guys make this run. It's like, well, how did this come from? It's like, well, it's not luck. It can't all be luck. It can't all be jinxes of other teams and things like that. How do you keep them loose, and how do you keep them going positive and not giving up on the year?
I think, you know, there's no other choice when it's, you know, with baseball, 162 games, you have to be in a good mood every day. You have to be happy. You have to love it. You have to show up knowing you're going to win that day. You have to, and it's a choice. You make a choice every single day to show up and put your work in, because you never know with baseball. With baseball, you never know. You're only as good as your starting pitcher and the other team's starting pitcher that night. And you go out and you play well, you take care of your business, you can win every single game. So you just have to keep showing up and stay positive, and there's no other way to do it.
All right, you said showing up. Well, the fans are showing up too, and you told them, you implored them, come on out the final six games. So far, so good. How do you feel about how the fans have responded and knowing that there's still three games and then whatever happens after that?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I couldn't be more thankful for our fans showing up. I mean, it's a playoff energy right now. They are bringing us a playoff energy during this last week of the season. All the players, all the coaches, everyone's commenting on it. We feel it. We feel the excitement. We feel the support, and it means the world to us, because these guys have been working so hard. They've gone through so many different tough times and tests and whatever you want to call adversity all year. And for us to be in a playoff position with three games to go and we control our own destiny, I couldn't be more proud of these guys. And it looks like the fans agree. And it's just been so much fun to have a packed out house so far this week.
Stephen Vogt with us on the hotline. So I got to be honest, we referenced this early in the show, and it seems like a lifetime ago when you had to be the chief messenger for a team that was losing 10 straight games. And you guys have had the highs and the lows. And part of the criticism that we had was, man, he sounds the same. Sounds the same. Where's the urgency? But was it the same messaging behind the scenes? Because we always used to talk about Tito, how he had such a great handle on over the course of 162, making sure guys didn't get too high and too low. Was there a method to the madness back then?
Of course. Of course. You have to stay positive. You know, we talked about it earlier. It doesn't do you any good to kick and scream and yell and show frustration, because once you show frustration, then everybody else gets to show frustration. And once everybody's showing frustration, then you're in trouble. So I had to make sure that I kept positive, and I'm the same person every single day. It doesn't matter how many we've lost or won, and you show up with the excitement and ready to go out there and win and see what happens.
Stephen Vogt joining us on the show. You were a catcher. Bo Naylor's just been better down this stretch. How do you work with him? What's been the catalyst to just being better, both at the plate and obviously behind the plate?
Yeah, first of all, you got Sandy Alomar Jr. working with him and talking with him. So just having someone like that who caught 20 years in the big leagues to lean on has helped Bo tremendously. And but you know what, Bo on the defensive side is turning himself into one of the better defensive catchers in baseball. His game calling, the way he leads that pitching staff, he's right up there with anybody in the game when it comes to that side of the ball. And just with the hitting side, he's made a number of adjustments with his lower half. He's got his lower half right where it needs to be, and he's starting to get some results. He's been hitting the ball hard all year, but it's been getting caught, and now he's getting some results, and it's really fun to watch him thriving down the stretch and leading these guys.
Well, and then you have another catcher who, you know, let's be honest with Hedges, he not exactly there for the offense, but he gets two hits last night, and the way that he is handling, you know, the staff when it's his time, the numbers, the proof is in the pudding, right? I mean, this is pretty incredible that he's that reliable.
Yeah, he's the best defensive catcher on the planet. There's no one better, and he's been swinging the bat. If you look at his numbers over the last month, he's right up there doing well. So Hedgie is a leader. He's our leader in the clubhouse. He's our leader on the bench. He's our leader when he's out there catching. He brings so much energy to these guys, and he has so many, you know, he's got 10 years of knowledge that he can help everybody with. So and now he's starting to see his hard work on his offense pay off by getting some results when he really needs to. But he's been hitting the ball hard and having great at-bats. We couldn't be more blessed with the catching duo that we have.
Is he a future manager?
If he wants to be. If he wants to be, he is. I think Hedgie can do whatever he wants in this game, and I definitely think he could manage one day.
What has Carl Willis done to get this young pitching staff going? Because they've been so much better over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, Carl and the other pitching coaches have really dove in with these guys, and you know they know that they had to be great. And I think, you know, when we had the idea of going to a 6-man rotation, that really helped because everybody got an extra day of rest, which means they got an extra day of working with Carl and the other pitching coaches to refine their stuff, and then they were going on plenty of rest. So you have a lot of energy, you got a little extra day of rest, and then you got an extra day of work, you're going to go out there and be great. And these guys have just been absolutely lights out.
You said they brought up the 6-man rotation, and now it just looks like absolute genius, and other teams have kind of had to react to it. Did you have to have your arm twisted on that? What goes into a conversation, you know, within maybe the organization or just your staff on something like that?
We talked for a while. I mean, we knew we had the 24 games and 24 days stretch coming up, and we knew it was September, and we knew we had a lot of pitchers that didn't have any innings. And when the idea got thrown out, as we talked through it, it was a pretty quick, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. You worry about only having the 8-man bullpen for a, you know, stretch like that. So we had talked, hey, the starters really have to step up and take the sixth inning. And boy, did they. I mean, they were outstanding. They went deep into games and obviously didn't give up any runs. So really proud of them, and it was really fun to watch.
There was a strong conversation a while ago in the dugout after a Tanner Bibee appearance. Was that a turning point for Tanner, or was there more things that he was working on that Carl was and you were working on with him to kind of get this thing going again?
Tanner's made the turnaround. I mean, obviously, we're all there to support him. We're all there to help him. But Tanner's the one that really, he's been working so hard all year, and he's been super consistent, you know, for the last couple months. But, you know, things happen in 162 games when you're around each other more than your family for 8 months. You know, things happen like that all the time, and we've learned from it. But Tanner's done this on his own. I mean, we've all supported him. We've all helped him. But he's the one that really has clicked it in when it matters.
When did you start scoreboard watching, and you know, how do you make sure that doesn't become a distraction, even though, you know, you guys are on the brink, on the verge of history now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't personally scoreboard watch, but there's plenty of people around me that are telling me what's going on, so I don't need to worry about that. But, you know, I think we're all watching, we're all peeking, we're all wondering, you know, but, you know, it's like I told our guys, the way that our season has been, the everything that you guys have been through, everything that we've gone through as a group, no one's going to help us. We got to do this on our own. And that's what I'm so proud of these guys for. And they have. They've gone out and they've won all these games. They've put themselves in this position to where we're going into a weekend home series at Progressive Field with the best baseball fans on the planet with a chance to win our way into the postseason. You can't ask for anything more than that. Like, that is the best scenario possible.
Do you believe in jinxes?
No.
No jinxes. So a radio show host can't jinx you.
I mean, if you want to take the risk, go ahead. It's your show. So I'm just the guest. So it's up to you.
No.
You're the one that's going to have Cleveland on your back if it happens. I don't believe in them, but if you do, then that's on you.
That's a very good point.
Tell them why you're asking.
No, you tell them why. You're the one who jinxed them.
I had the nerve, and look, I thought that I had a responsibility to make sure to educate the fans.
Yeah, now he wants to be a journalist.
But that you guys were on verge of even more history by having this incredible number with the starters, you know, giving up two runs or less, and you were threatening, I think, a team from 1918 for an all-time MLB record.
17.
I just thought fans would like to know that. I thought fans would be interested in knowing that. Now I'm being accused of jinxing the team after yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, it's how you choose to look at it. I mean, if you know, obviously it's an unbelievable run by our starting pitching, and it's going to end at some point. So, but you know, Parker was really good last night. Just a couple pitches over the middle that they didn't miss, and that's what they do. They hit homers.
Say you win tonight. Your game starts at 7:10 Eastern. The Astros start a lot later. Will you watch the Astros games tonight or tomorrow like they're a March Madness team, like you're a March Madness team?
No, we will not. We will be going. We're going to go home right after the game, and I'm sure everybody's going to be watching, and, you know, we'll see. But we have to take care of our end of it. We have to win our game, and that's really all that matters. And, again, I know people get sick of me saying it, but all we can control is winning today, and then we worry about tomorrow. So we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out when we wake up in the morning, but we got to come out ready to play tonight and get a win.
Has there been any message, the communication between David Fry? Is anything said, you know, other than the obvious?
I mean, as far as what?
Yeah, I think of somebody who obviously is, you know, through thick and through thin after what you guys and him, what he was able to help accomplish last year, that it's got to stink that he can't be there with you guys. Is he issuing the charge like go out there and let's rally around and let's do whatever it takes, because, you know, this stinks that he's not going to be able to be with the team?
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely. I mean, the guy's brought his jersey down to the you know, the dugout. And I mean, David's one of our biggest leaders. He's been a huge part of our team, not only on the field, but in the dugout and the clubhouse. And these guys love each other, man. I mean, it's you. Like I told you, you're 8 months. You're with each other more than you're with your family, and you're traveling. You're going everywhere every single day, and day in and day out, they are supporting each other. And David's been a big part of that. So, absolutely, the guys want to rally for David.
What do you, Stephen Vogt, joining us on the show, manager of the Guardians? What do you do to relax and center yourself?
Oh man, You know, when I get a chance to, I like to go just hit some golf balls or play golf. But honestly, I like to just try to turn off. I watch Cheers, The Office, Seinfeld, you know, comedy movies, just anything to do that, because it just turns my brain off and I'm able to relax. But that's for me. I'm a pretty simple guy, guys.
Cheers?
Yeah.
We're like kind of in this. Wait a minute. How old are you?
I'm 40.
Yeah, we were like both kids. Cheers. That's interesting. Like The Office makes sense, or some of the other ones make sense. Cheers is still a little bit before
the Diane years, or the
how could you not watch
Kirstie
Diane
Alley?
Years?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, Diane years are my favorite for sure.
Yeah, Diane. But, yeah.
Well, Coach is really he's the best character. But no, I used to watch Cheers with my dad when I was a kid, and he would always watch Cheers, so he got me on that.
That's awesome. What when you guys do make the postseason, what is the message to the team? Or you don't have to tell us if you don't want
to. Ken, don't jinx them.
Now I'm worried about it. Now I'm worried about jinxing the guy. Should I even ask you that question, or should I just not ask that question? We just end the interview.
Here's what I'll say. We've been hot all September. Let's stay hot. If we stay hot, we have to take care of our business. We have to play our game. Let's stay hot, and you never know what can happen. This is baseball. It's crazy. I'm super proud of our guys. I couldn't be more thankful that we're in this position, and thank you to the fans for showing up. We definitely feel your energy. Keep bringing it all weekend long.
Steven, thank you so much for the time. Continued success. We're all pulling for you. Take care.
No, I appreciate it, guys.
Steven Vogt, Cleveland Guardians manager. Thanks to Owen for the question.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Shouldn't, by the way. I'm freezing, and I want to put my hood up, and Michael Mann / Keith Britton won't let me put my hood up. Get that hood off. People need to see your face.
Our face.
Does that make you mad,
Ken? Let me tell you something. Hold on.
To relax, John Carpenter.
Hold on. I'm pretty sure that we don't have an issue with seeing our face, Kenny. I'm going to show.
What?
I had people messaging me yesterday.
What?
This was the clip. I go, Keith, I think the close-ups have gotten a little extreme. I had somebody on Instagram go, all right, Lima, we get it. You guys are pushing out all these videos. You want to showcase. I'm like, well, you're going to get the extreme close-up.
Do you think the hood up looks good, though, on video?
No. Okay. I'm just freezing. It's cold.
Wear
I'm
a
freeze baby. I should wear a babushka in here. Zach Meisel, did your grandma wear a babushka?
No. What?
Zach Meisel joins us from The Athletic. You were the first one I saw. I don't know if you were the first one, you know, to add the story. Zach Meisel joins us on the fan hotline. Tarek Skubal rode with Steven Vogt to go see David Fry. Do you know any of the conversation that they had in the truck? Because 3.5 miles is actually kind of far in a city. Like, what did they talk about?
it's a short drive, though, when it's, you know, midnight. So here's what happened. So some Guardians were planning to go over there after the game, and Tarek Skubal also wanted to do that. And word passed via some clubhouse attendants. When Vogt heard Skubal wanted to go, he said, hey, hop in my truck, let's drive down the street. I'll drop you off at the hotel after. And they talked about David Fry. They did not talk about the Ryan Pomperion impression or anything like that.
Does set up like as good of a guy as Skubal looks here. The whole thing sets up is, to me, nothing other than very awkward. Very awkward because obviously he didn't mean to go up there. He buzzed the tower in a big way. And we're wondering, oh, my God, what's the future of David Fry? This is significant. We have, you know, in Cleveland, anybody who's followed Cleveland baseball over the years knows about, you know, Herb Score. And you just you're hoping, you're praying that it's not something awful. And then the stakes of these games, this isn't just a random July game where who cares who wins. No, Detroit, that game might have been it. That game might be the one that they'll remember the most if they end up like missing the playoffs completely. And then they got to get into a car together, do a ride share to go do a wellness check. Like, it's the whole thing. Like, it's a good story. It's also bizarre. The whole day is bizarre.
It is a bizarre day.
You're right. It's surreal. And that's why after I learned about this, I had to go ask Mo, like, what. You've got to paint the picture for me here, because I'm with you. You know, if this thing ends the way it's been trending, and I don't know what'll happen in the postseason. You know, if the Guardians win the division, you know, the Tigers can still get in as a wild card. These teams could be playing here in Cleveland next week, but people are going to look back at that sixth inning and everything that happened. That's the moment that stands out. So you're right. It's surreal. Just these guys are in a car together, but you know, they were talking about that, right? Like, there's the Tigers, they need any escape they can get right now from what's happening. They're clearly pressing and panicking and have been. So yeah. And Vogt's a good guy. Like, he's not in our minds. Like, if we're writing a script for a TV show, Scooble gets in the car and Vogt just like looks over and gives him an evil smile, like something like that. But that's not what happened here.
Like Denzel Washington in Training Day.
There you go.
Zach Meisel joining us here on the show. This is wild conversation already. This is probably worse than the conversation they had in the truck. Go ahead.
Is there of all the numbers that stand out, we know we're chasing history with 20 straight starts, potentially under two runs. You've got the probabilities and how they fluctuated for these playoff teams. Is there one number that stands out to you the most, is the most remarkable to encapsulate everything that's going on?
Yeah, I was debating with Jeff Passan the other night on what's the best arbitrary endpoint to use to make this sound. I mean, you don't need to make it sound incredible. It is incredible. I just think like 15 and a half games, like that number is just nuts. But that was what, almost 3 months ago now. And like, yes, that's the record, too. No team has ever even gotten a playoff spot after being down 15 and a half games, but let alone a division title. But to me, it's the rapidness of it. It's the fact that it's 3 weeks ago, they were 11 games out. And so it's not only has, and I've heard people ask, like, well, is it more of a collapse or is it more of a comeback? Well, it's the fact that they've had to play each other two series during the stretch, that it has to be both. You know, it is the Guardians imposing their will and forcing mistakes and then capitalizing on all these mistakes. And then it's the Tigers just unable to escape this tornado of hell. Like, it's got to be both. And so I think, to me, I almost think you're doing a disservice by saying, well, they were 15 and a half back. That was in July. Like, they actually had a really good month when they were 15 and a half back to crawl back to within like five or six. And then they fell back again. That to me is, you know, everything they went through this summer that we talked about and we ranted about. And a lot of it's like, it's still valid. Like, if you look at this lineup, like that's what's remarkable, is how they're actually doing this. Because we talk about the 10 game losing streak. Well, they lost 9 of 10 in mid August and it looked like they were left for dead once again. And at that point, there wasn't, you know, they said all the right things in July when it was, oh, it's still early. There's 162 games. Yeah, but when you're suffering like they were in late August and there's only a month left, you know, they weren't saying like, oh, there's plenty of time left. No, that's what's made this the most incredible thing. So to me, it's the fact that they've made up so much ground in 3 weeks, and it's just, you close your eyes, it doesn't matter who the starting pitcher is on the mound. Like, they're going six innings, they're giving up one run, and it makes life easier on everybody else.
Is Stephen Vogt better in 2025 than he was in 2024, even though he won the award in 2024?
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up, because I think the answer is yes, but I think it's a little nuanced. He's only better in 2025 because of the job he did in 2024. And let me explain this. So
that's deep.
He was stopped by somebody who recognized him. It might have been a neighbor or something a couple months ago. And they said, man, I bet you wish it was as easy as it was last year. And he's thinking, I understand we were in first place all of last season, but like, you don't see what it takes behind the scenes to do that. And he was in his first season, brand new coaching staff, had to learn all of the players, had to learn what makes them tick, what motivates them, what situations they can handle. And yeah, they got off to a great start and they just took off from there, and that helped. But there is such a learning curve and so much you don't know that goes into managing 162 games and balancing all these personalities and all these preferences. And he got to the end of the season, he's like, he was so spent because it just takes so many mental adjustments throughout a season. And so, yeah, it was a great first year, but there was so much to learn and it was so much more difficult than anyone would realize. And the point is, he had to do such a good job last year in getting to know his players and all the people and the setting the culture, that's what allowed him to do a good enough job this year to steer them through all the adversity. So if you're voting for him for manager of the year this year, like, it's hard to argue against it, right? You know, there's maybe a couple good candidates. He's certainly one of them, but it's for a very different reason than why he won it last year. And I think why he was so good last year is why he's had the success here in the second half of the season.
Zach Meisel joining us on the hotline. Let's start to set this up and think about what this weekend into next week wild card round could look like. And let's play out the scenarios, because I catch myself going, man, we could maybe play Detroit again. And then if Scooble has to go Sunday, then do we even see him in our series? Maybe he'd go on 3 days rest in a potential third game, deciding game. Like, that's how excited I'm getting about all this. Am I thinking way too far ahead?
You're not, because that's only a few days away, right? It's crazy how quickly this has happened. Guys, they could clinch a playoff spot today. They could be popping champagne tonight. So life comes at you quick. And so step one, clinch a playoff spot. To do that, I think the Astros play this afternoon. You need them to lose. They look like zombies right now. And then if you beat the Tigers today, you clinch a playoff spot. And then your magic number for the division would be one. So you just need one win against Texas this weekend. Texas is going to send a corpse of a roster to Cleveland. All their best players are out for the year. And or you need Detroit to lose once. They go to Fenway this weekend. The Red Sox are still trying to win enough games to clinch the number four seed, so, or the number five seed. So there's a lot still in motion, but basically if the Guardians just, you know, if they go 3-1 and then last four, like, they're sitting pretty as the three seed. They might even be able to go 2-2. So the other thing that you're rooting for, you want the Guardians to win the division, and then you want Tarek Skubal to pitch Sunday. That's the key. So to do that, you might need the Astros to actually pick it up a little bit, and they play the Angels this weekend, who are just atrocious. So if the Astros can beat up on the Angels, stay in that wild card hunt, so that the Tigers have to win games this weekend to fend off the Astros, then Skubal pitches Sunday. And if Skubal pitches Sunday and maybe the Tigers get in, the only way Skubal would pitch in the wild card series would be on short rest. So that's the ideal scenario. It's not too far-fetched either. The main point is just wrap up the division as soon as you can, and they can do that as soon as tomorrow.
Is Jose the greatest Guardian ever?
I really struggle with this because I don't know anything about Nat Lajoie. Like, I see his stats, I've read his bio. They named the team after him. I mean, I'll
name the Cleveland Jose's. I don't care.
I don't think they considered that a few years ago. But
well, they couldn't. He wasn't signed to his contract yet, was he?
It's a good point. Yeah. It could have been the Toronto Jose's. Yeah. he's going to have a statue. I hope we do the thing where we honor the guy while he's here. Like, I don't know how he wants to spend his entire career here and retire as a Guardian, right? I'd sure hope that the Guardians want that too. I don't need to see this guy at the age of 38 playing one season as a DH with the Marlins. Like, can we make sure he retires in Cleveland? Maybe he gets the statue his last season. And then I think we're going to look up, like, it'd be really cool if he had a World Series ring too, if he was also the guy that helped them end the drought. I think that would cement his status, to answer your question. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we look up, even in just a few years. It doesn't even have to be the end of his career. And like, it's not even debatable. You know, it's like, if you look at it right now, I mean, it's crazy. I'm looking at a WAR leaderboard, and he's fifth in WAR in franchise history. All the guys around him, their photos are in black and white. Like, it's, you know, aside from like Bob Feller, it's guys who played in like 1910 and stuff. So he's doing stuff that we've never seen or we haven't seen in a really long time. And it's just the longevity and the consistency, like, they're unmatched.
He's playing against guys like Pants and Buttons. Like, that's their names, like, back in the day.
Yeah, like Home Run Baker. That's one of the third basemen.
Boy, we can't do a show without Baker being brought
up. Every time.
I swear to God.
It's every time.
I swear to God.
Zach, one final thing, because we've had some callers and a lot of people on social media. I've called them losers, idiots.
Name calling.
I've told
that's
them a lot of things.
Resorted
that,
to.
That I will admit, I've gotten down in the dirt. So how would you respond to anybody who says, who cares about any of this? They've got no shot once they play the real teams in the postseason.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, first I would say, explain to me what the real teams are in the American League. Like, there has been no juggernaut this year. The Yankees were really, really good last season. You know, I this team still has Bo Naylor hitting fifth and Gabriel Arias hitting sixth. Like, I'm alongside all of you who left them for dead numerous times this season. But to me, that's what makes this crazy. It makes it fun. Like, just, I think sometimes we can just shut up and watch, right? Like, it's just go along for the ride. I understand there are some people who say, you know, for the Cavs, wake me up in early June. For the Browns, wake me up in February. And if you're there, I'll care. And like, if that's your prerogative and that's how you want to follow sports, that's fine. But sometimes we get these moments or these snapshots in time that are just, if you just shut your mouth and like enjoy the ride, it's pretty cool. Like, this has been a crazy spectacle. And the reason it's been so enjoyable to follow is because it looked so bleak for so long. Like, in 2017, they won 22 games in a row. That ride was incredible. That team was loaded. Like, that wasn't the fact that that team made history wasn't the most shocking thing in the world. The fact that this team is making history is. And so sometimes, like, I don't know where this goes, but I'm enjoying finding out.
Zach, you're glorious. Thank you so much for the time.
He almost went Ferris Bueller there at the end. Life moves fast.
Okay.
It does.
Just stop.
I got to go call my grandma and ask about her wardrobe.
The babushka. Let me know. Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Meisel from The Athletic, at Zach Meisel on social media. Outstanding from him. To talk about the Guardians, their attempts to clinch this division and in a wild card, anything really at this point, we head out to the fan hotline to welcome on former Guardians pitcher. You've heard him here on 92.3 The Fan as well. Jason Stanford joining us. Jason, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Good afternoon, Nick. Good afternoon, Earl the Pearl.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, boys. How are you guys?
We're doing all right here. It's a football Friday. The show is flying, which you should never say, because that always kills the speed of the show. But no, I mean, you know, it's funny. We're just talking about how much pressure is in the Guardians heading into this weekend, because Wednesday night, I was so confident they were going to win up 3-1 in the bottom of the top of the seventh that I went to bed because I just knew they were going to win. Last night, they lost, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling the pressure again. How much pressure is on the Guardians heading into this weekend?
I don't think as much pressure as you're mentioning there, Nick. And the reason I say that is Detroit has to go on the road and play in Boston. And Boston is playing very good baseball right now. You know, so when you look at it that way, I think more of the pressure goes on Detroit than it does on the guards. And the nice thing about it, the guards are at home. They're finishing up the regular season at home against Texas. They've got a chance to pull it out tonight. And if they win tonight, they're locked. So that's the awesome thing about it.
Jason, talk about Stephen Vogt for a minute, because I know me, I was a person that at certain points during the season, I was kind of questioning his leadership, but it says a lot about a man or manager, period, to really keep the team together with so much adversity going on. And, you know, some feel like if we complete this and win the AL Central, that he should be manager of the year for the second year in a row. Talk about the job that you think he's done this year.
He's done a remarkable job. I mean, to be able to pull out the way that the team has been playing of late, you know, all of September, is absolutely amazing. And, you know, he doesn't have the big name dudes. He doesn't have an Aaron Judge. He doesn't have a Cal Raleigh, you know, on his roster. And what he does have is a team of guys that go out and compete and get after it. He's got a Jose Ramirez that's going to be a Hall of Famer. You know, he's got other guys that just play out. And this starting staff, you know, and I talked to him a couple weeks ago, you know, about what Carl Willis has done. And that's been, I think, the best part about it is that you've got a starting staff that believes in each other, that they have this internal competition amongst each other. And that's why they've been playing so hot and heavy and hard right now going into the final weekend.
So the pitching factory appears to be back in full swing here with what we've seen, not just with the bullpen and having to turn that over because of injuries, but obviously you mentioned the starting rotation. The idea that you could lose Luis Ortiz early in the season, who was arguably your best pitcher to that point, and still be able to have a six-man rotation in September is crazy. You know, Carl Willis was your old pitching coach. He was here that first run with Wedge. He came up as a pitching coach in the system when you were coming up. What makes Carl Willis a good pitching coach?
Well, I think a lot of it goes to he listens to his players so well about what they're feeling and what they're going about mechanically and emotionally and mentally, you know, being able to prepare day in and day out. He does a really, really good job of that. The other thing that he does is he doesn't overcomplicate anything. If you're going good, you know, he's not going to change anything. And so when you have your bullpen sessions, especially as a starter, you know, you might tweak a little movement here with maybe your finger placement or, you know, going, especially now with all the technology, going and looking at so much video and being able to see, you know, different things like that. But Carl, what he's been able to do when I was there, what he was able to do, you know, a little bit in Seattle, and then now, you know, with the guys here again, it is so fun to watch, you know, especially for me being a pitcher, you know, and what he has to work with. You know, he doesn't have the top dogs anymore. He doesn't have a Sabathia and a Cliff Lee, you know, and a Jason Davis and a Billy Traber, you know, and a Jason Sanford. I'll throw it in there for you guys. You know, but the uniqueness that he does have, you know, Tanner Bibee has been very, very good. I love Gavin Williams right now. I mean, he has been an absolute horse. He's coming into his own right now, which has been fun to watch. He's got great numbers. And he just goes out there and competes every 6 days right now, so it's been fun.
Jason, looking at Bo Naylor, over the last 16 games in the month of September, he's batting just up under .300 with 16 hits, 3 home runs, and 14 RBIs. A lot has been said about Bo Naylor all season long. A lot of people was ready to give up on Bo. In your opinion, has Bo Naylor turned the corner for good and for the better?
I think what he did, honestly, was he simplified a lot of things in his swing. He made it a lot easier of, you know, what he needs to do on a daily basis. So, yeah, as long as he sticks to that routine and trusts himself on a regular daily basis and not overcomplicating himself with saying, okay, hey, I'm facing this guy today and this is what he has, as opposed to, hey, this is what I feel good about. That's what I want to utilize, then yes, 100% all day long, he's going to stick to being a good quality hitter like he's showing in September.
Jason Stanford, former Indians pitcher. I'm going to say it, nice guy. Very nice guy on the fan hotline here, mostly because I feel like if I pepper you up, I continue to get even better questions here. There are two schools of thoughts on this, Stanny. There is, we've seen Detroit so much that seeing them for another three-game set in the playoffs gives maybe them an advantage. And then the other one is, hey, we've dominated them so much that we want to see them again in the playoffs. If you're in that clubhouse, do you want to see the Tigers again in the first round of the playoffs?
Not in the first round of the playoffs, only because it's a three-game set. If it's, you know, the five of the seven-game set, then 100% I'll take a look at them all day long. The reason I say no in a three-game set, you have Scooble. Scooble's the dude. I mean, you know, yes, the guards have gotten him of late, but when you look at the numbers, it's not that they've gotten Scooble. They've gotten the bullpen. You know, Scooble has done his job and pitched like none other. So the key is figure out how to not face Detroit in the first round, make it, win the division, go have a good time, and then go from there.
So with that, if the Guardians were to face the Tigers again in the playoffs, even if the Guardians win the division, does that mean you would not expect to win the series?
I wouldn't say that, Nick. I would say they've got to go back. You know, they talked about the other night about guard ball, right? Small ball, executing bunts, you know, keeping the ball on the infield and figuring out how to score runs. That's going to be, you know, the key of how the guards win those series. And, you know, we saw it last year. I mean, the Guardians came in, you know, Lane Thomas. You've got David Fry. I know Fry's not going to be playing in the playoffs, but you had David Fry do his thing. You know, you had Noel Christmas do his thing. So those are the things that you're going to be looking for in this playoff atmosphere, is making sure that they go out and compete. And if it is against the Tigers, they'll take it. And especially if it's a home series, these fans are going to be ridiculous.
At home tonight against the Texas Rangers, Slade Cecconi is on the mound. What do you expect from this team tonight?
I think they're going to come out and compete right off the get. I think Slade's going to set the tone. So, you know, with him going out and throwing the ball the way he's been throwing it of late, he's going to go out and do what he needs to do. But the thing for me right now, the offense needs to get going early. They can't be playing from behind. They can't be, you know, going back and forth. They've got to be able to get a run or two early on and then let Slade do his thing.
All right. I know you love football, too. How are we feeling about this Browns-Lions game this Sunday?
Oh, boy. Do I really have to say anything?
I think so. I think it's better if you do.
I got two of the Lions in my fantasy team, so I've got to go Lions all day long. I've got to see them just say dominate.
Wait, who do you have?
I've got Montgomery and I've got Gibbs.
Oh, you had a day last week, didn't you?
Yeah, two of their running backs? That's bold, by the way.
He scored four touchdowns last week, yeah. My man.
Hey, all I know is every weekend, they're scoring about 50 points for me every weekend right now, so I'm really, really happy right now.
So last night, Marvin Harrison Jr., I finally kicked him out of the starting lineup after the last 2 weeks, and he pops off for 19 fantasy points, and I was like, boy, because I did this with a couple players, and every one of them I feared making me look like a jackass except Marv, and it goes out there, and the Maserati gets 19 points. So life is good, Stanny. Life is good.
What's the probability, Jason?
You don't want to ever vote or bench anybody that plays for Ohio State. I'm not an Ohio State fan, but when they get to the NFL, they go off right now. Nick, I'll work with you, man, or you can ask my son, Tucker. He tells me how to set my lineup every weekend.
All right, Jason, great stuff, buddy. Always great to catch up with you. We got an exciting weekend here for the Gardos, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you once we get into the playoffs.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks so much there. We got Jason Stanford, former Indians pitcher, on the fan hotline here. He is a gentleman. You can check out frontlinetofield.org. ORG, that sounded a little different. That is a very different website. But Jason's not on that one. He's on frontlinetofield.org.
Are you sure?
I'll have to do the research. I'm going to have to watch the tape. We'll find out. But Jason's always so gracious with his time. We appreciate him. You're going to react to what he had to say. And talking about the big decision the Guardians have during this weekend and what is the right move, that's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Man. No one knows Guardians, Indians, professional baseball in Northeast Ohio better than this man. He is looking forward to what would perhaps be the 13th time that he has covered this franchise in the postseason. He is the pride of Cathedral Latin. In fact, so good they had to shut the school down after he was there. Of course, he's on the fan hotline. He's Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, how are you?
What's up, Hoynesy?
How you guys doing?
How'd you like your little intro there?
Well, buddy.
That was great. I did not shut Cathedral Latin down, but I played a part in it, probably, I think.
Between you, what, you and Colin Irish are probably two of the biggest names to come
nothing
out of the
wrong with
sports,
a mic drop
right?
From a school. Nothing wrong with a mic drop.
Wait, did you play baseball in high school? Did you play any sports?
No, I kept going out for sports teams, and I kept getting cut. So that shows you that I went to the right profession or the wrong profession.
The problem is you started interviewing yourself after getting cut and go, well, what does it mean to you to get cut? And the next thing you know, hey, I can make a living out of this. Hoynes, just your thoughts on where we are right now, because the story, like I keep saying, this season has been a movie.
Yeah, I mean, this is who saw this coming?
Nobody.
Back in July, you're 15 and a half out. Tarek Skubal puts a dagger in your heart, in a three game sweep and at a Progressive Field. You think you're done, and I mean, even what like as late as September 4th, they're 10 games out. I mean, this doesn't happen. You just don't come back like this, and you know it took two to tango, so to speak. The Guardians had to get hot, but the Tigers had to go ice cold.
Hoynesy, do you think there's a turning point that you're going to point to that is kind of like, okay, this is the moment that is standing out to me of when things started changing? And if so, do you have that moment that things changed, or was it just like, I don't know, all of a sudden they started winning?
Yeah, I think the most recent turning point, I think there's been a few of them, but I think when they went to the six-man rotation in September, I think that just kind of kick-started them, gave them some new life, and, they've been rolling ever since then. I mean, Messick lost last night, but that was the first real loss that they've had since they went to six starters.
Do you think when they decided to go to six starters that that's just kind of felt like, okay, we are going to plan this out. This feels really good. I really think this can give us a boost. Maybe we can let guys go a little bit long. Like strategically 100% thought that out. They're like, you know what? Hey, we just lost a starter. Let's go with a six-man rotation because a four-man rotation doesn't work. How do you think that went down?
Yeah, I think there was a couple things, Andy. You know, they needed – their bullpen was getting fried. They were missing Class A so they had to cover the ninth inning. The five starters were, reaching their innings limits. So when the roster expanded to 28, they were able to fit Joey Cantillo in there as a sixth starter. And they really started, they started to get six and seven innings out of the rotation, and that covered the missing ninth inning, so to speak, in the bullpen. So, I think it was really out of necessity that they did it, and probably they were also looking out for their young arms as well.
Paul Hoynes, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer joining us, and of course you can listen to him on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast with Joe Noga as well. Joining us on the Fan Hotline. The other thing with this run that's been amazing is the fact that they went down into the minors and went and grabbed George Valera to come up here, a name that we've been kicking around for a long period of time, who's made a positive contribution to this team, not only in the outfield, but hitting two bombs along the way. Are you surprised that Valera has been as good as he has been in this run, Hoynesy?
We've been waiting for Valera. I remember watching him during the 2020 pandemic season when they you know, when they held the workouts here at Progressive Field. And I really liked his swing. But, you know, like you said, Dan, he kept getting hurt. I mean, you know, he pulled a hamstring. He had the hamate bone. Then last year, you know, like he had 15 home runs in about 50 games at Columbus, and then he ran into the outfield wall and banged up his knee. It just seemed he was a hard luck guy. And you know, even at the end of the year, they DFA'd him, then re-signed him. But you just never thought you'd see this guy up, but he's up now. I love his swing. You know, he's got some pop, and he can go. He's a nice, effortless swing. He can go the other way. And he really controls the strike zone. He's an interesting guy to watch.
Hoynesy, how married are they to Cantillo on Sunday? I would think, or Allen tomorrow. To be honest with you, you got to feel good about Ciccone tonight, right? And I'm not saying you don't feel good about Allen or Cantillo, but I mean, if you've got Williams on 5 days rest, is that right? Sunday 5 days. Would you switch it out if you knew it was, you know, do or die?
Yeah, I think if they need it, they'll go with their best starters, you know, I would think. You know, they haven't named a starter. At least I haven't seen a starter for Saturday and Sunday, either as Texas. So, you know, I would think that's the problem, you know, of being tied right now instead of having this thing under control. You know, you've got to go with your best guys to get in, one way or the other. You can't wait now. I don't think they bring anybody back on short rest, but they certainly have to go with their best guys.
Is this the real Brian Rocchio, Hoynesy, that we've seen in the second half of the season? Because something has changed, and he's hitting now, and man, is it nice to see.
Yeah, this is what he did last postseason. What do they call it? October Rocchio or something. I think they have a name for it in the locker room, what he does, you know, in the second half. And, you know, he did hit a little skid there, but he's come back against the Tigers. You know, really, you know, kind of a potent bat at the bottom of the lineup. He's stealing bases. And, you know, you've got to love the way he moved from short to second base without missing a beat.
What does that mean for the future? I mean, we've both been watching him play. All three of us have been watching him play. He's been playing great. What does that mean for Travis Pezzana?
Yeah, this is really going to be interesting because, you know, Arias has played great at shortstop. He's got a great arm. His arm, you know, really plays well at that position. You've got Rocchio. Now you've got Pezzana coming up. I don't know. I think, you know, we'll finally get a look at Pezzana, hopefully in spring training next year. Hopefully he can stay healthy throughout the off season and we can get a good look at him. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with having too many good players. So we'll see how it shakes out. But, you know, I mean, you can always make a trade. You can always, move guys around. But it's really going to be interesting because Pezzana seems to be, at least to me, Andy, seems to be a one position guy. I don't think they're going to play him in the outfield, or they could move him out there. But, you know, it seems like he's a second baseman. He's a lot like Manzardo in that effect that, you know, Manzardo's a first baseman.
Yeah. Let me ask you, I haven't had the opportunity. I've just been watching all the games on TV this week, and, like, I can feel the energy jumping through the tube, you know, and I've had more than four or five people come up to me in the last 2 days that have said, I've been to the games over this week and it feels like the 90s. It really does. And give me the temperature of the room at the ballpark over the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been loud. It's, you know, they've been oohing and ahhing on every pitch. Like, it's a postseason game. I think Kwan said nobody's looking at their phones or eating their food when they're at the game now. They're watching every pitch. You know, they're into it every pitch. You can feel it. And, you know, there's people still lined up outside the gates, outside the Home Run Plaza when the game is going on. So, you know, they've sold a lot of tickets. What, they drew 30,000 last night. Over 30,000 on Tuesday, and right around 25,000 for the middle game of the series. They're drawing good crowds, and there's a fever pitch to it.
I'll get back to actual baseball questions in a second here, Hoynesy. I'm sorry. As someone who loves baseball, that's awesome. That makes me so happy.
You know what? Here's what I like about it, and I'll give
That's
you.
It's just awesome.
Let me give you an example. The moment hasn't been too big for CJ Cephas. That's what I love about it, right? You got all that energy in the ballpark. You got a young guy who's had a pretty good season between Columbus and here, and I'm watching him last night, you know, driving a run and go for 2 for 2. And I love the fact that the moment's not too big for him.
Yeah, he, you know, two straight doubles. I mean, he was the only guy that swung the bat besides Jose last night. Really hit the ball hard, looks confident at the plate. I really like him at first base. I think you're right, Andy. I mean, the moment is not too big. And they had Valera, they had Cephas.
Yeah.
Two rookies in that lineup. Manzardo's pretty much a rookie. You know, this is his first full year. So that's a young team. And, you know, they're responding to this. I think they're having a lot of fun. It's, you know, even after the game last night, it didn't feel like a defeated locker room. You know, there was music playing, which you rarely hear after a loss. Everybody was smiling. I mean, they're really confident. They, you know, they've still got to get the job done, but, you know, they're riding the wave right now.
And that screams just how Stephen Vogt understands this ball club and how good that he's done with it, Hoynesy, because you're right, you don't hear that very often, but how impressed have you been with Stephen Vogt in year two and his understanding of his guys in that locker room?
Yeah, I think, you know, Dan, he might be doing a better job this year than he did last year. Hmm. I mean, he might be, you know, he might get more manager of the year votes than he did last year. I'm not sure, but, you know, he's really kind of steadied the ship. He has stayed the same guy. You know, like, I don't know what he's like behind the scenes or what he's had to, you know, how he deals with the players one-on-one. But no one is complaining. You know, everyone is saying that you know, he is the reason we're here. One of the big reasons we're here, because, you know, he's the same guy day in, day out, win or lose. He never panicked when they were in the tank, and he's been the same since, you know, they've been winning every day.
All right, just your vibe from being around there. Are we talking about baseball next week?
Yeah, I do think. I mean, this would. I'm born and raised in Cleveland, so I'm always have that, you know, that dark cloud in the back of my head somewhere. But yeah, I think they're either in the wild card or they're the division champs come Sunday after Sunday's game.
That's a beautiful thing.
Hoynesy, thank you. You know, we were talking earlier today about Ramirez getting a statue while he's still playing. I think they need to have a statue like 5 feet back from all the statues that are up there with you and Shelley and Ingram holding pads, holding reporter pads.
Can we,
right
can we get it where you could push a button and you get the hawk call?
Oh,
that's what we need.
Yeah, we're all on walkers. We're all on walkers.
Stop. I saw Jimmy at the Browns game last week. He looks good, man.
He does look good. Definitely.
All right. Hoynesy, have fun this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
You're the man. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks.
He's the best. Paul Hoynes closed out Cathedral Latin all by himself. Nice job, boys.
It's Friday. It's 6 o'clock, and that means it's time to welcome on Browns reporter, Browns analyst for 92.3 The Fan, our 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel as well, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hello, boys. Happy Friday afternoon.
What's up, my guy?
Well, it's always great to talk with you. We were just having the conversation, how many points does the offense need to score on Sunday to give the defense a chance to win? Where do you start that at there, Daryl?
You might have to total their entire scoring for the season.
That seems like hyperbole.
No, I mean, look, the Lions are hot right now. They've scored 90 points in the last two games combined. So I will probably put it at 24 points to have a chance to win.
Daryl, a lot has been made about, you know, our defensive front going up against the Lions offensive line and how that's a matchup within a matchup. But our offensive line is not that good, and I think the Detroit Lions defensive line is not getting enough credit. Talk about the challenges that's ahead for the Cleveland Browns offensive line this weekend.
Well, I mean, they got issues at the both tackle positions, which is obviously not ideal. They have to compensate for losing DeJuan Jones, and thanks to the National Football League for telling the Browns, oh yeah, we probably should have thrown a flag on the play that cost you your starting left tackle his season. So good job by the NFL there. But you know, you know Cornelius Lucas and KT, they've done a pretty good job. Leviston there, they've you know been trying to hold the fort down. They added Thayer Munford from New England's practice squad this week. They're probably going to need to use him as well. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the battle in the trenches, you know, Detroit is a very physical football team in all three phases. And not only are they physical, they're very aggressive as well, offense, defense, and special teams. So this is going to be a tough challenge for the Browns, not just for the Browns' offensive line, but it's going to be a tough challenge for the Browns' defensive line. It's going to be a tough challenge for the Browns' secondary, just all the way around. And just when you think you get the Lions off the field on third down, Dan Campbell decides he's going for it on fourth down, and they've converted 7 of 8 of those this season. So this is going to be very interesting to watch how Jim Schwartz handles that.
Daryl, you mentioned DeJuan out for the rest of the season here. We got the LCL news and a hamstring, the Bateman, I think is what they called it. I am curious, though. So he was well on his way to getting benched as a left tackle. He moves over to right tackle for week three, gets hurt. It's the third straight year his season has ended because of injury prematurely. Yep. How does DeJuan factor into the Browns' offensive line plans next year?
Hard to say. It's unfortunate. This is, as you mentioned, Nick, this is the third straight year that, you know, his season ends due to injury. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, going into this year, I was factoring him in as, you know, their left tackle for the next couple of years. And then, you know, he has had moments where he has struggled. But when you watch him, and Joel Bitonio has talked about this, a couple other veteran offensive linemen have talked about it, like, you know, you look at film and you'll see a couple of plays in there, the talent that DeJuan has. And, you know, guys are like, man, why can't we see this on each and every down from him? And it's just unfortunate that he's not been able to stay on the field to give him an opportunity to develop the consistency that actually we did get to see for a period of time. When he was a rookie, when he started, came in to fill in for Conklin on the right side, and then they moved him to the left side. I mean, he played really, really well, and I would argue he played about as good as any of the left tackles in the league for that, you know, 5, 6, 7 week stretch there as a rookie before he got hurt. So the talent is in there. He has put in work to reshape his body and all those type of things, but I just think right now, unfortunately, I don't know that you can count on him being a cornerstone for your future going forward.
Daryl, any updates on Mike Hall? I know he won't play this week, but how far away are we from seeing Mike Hall in a real game? And when he actually hits that football field, what do you think he will contribute to what's been an already dominant defensive front seven?
Well, the Browns have made the decision to burn a roster spot for him just so he can practice. Because this is week four, and my number one question, you know, because we see this every year. They seem to have like one guy where like, he's coming along, And then it turns out you get the, you know, week 5, 6, 7, they should have just put him on injured reserve to begin with.
Wasn't it also Mike Hall Jr. last year?
Well, no, he was suspended last year. This is his second year.
He had the
domestic incident that cost him 5 games.
But other than that,
But my point is, it just seems like there's always a player that they're trying to, you know, that's coming back from an injury that they try and bring along, and they're not ultimately ready by that, you know, that week four, and you sit there and say, why didn't you just put him on IR? But the organization really wanted to get Mike Hall all this practice time over these 4 weeks. Now, Kevin Stefanski said today that he's close. I don't know if that means he's day to day or, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem that they have a definitive timetable. I will say this. If we get into week 6 and 7 and 8 and he's not on the football field, then the organization completely mismanaged that. Look, it's a serious injury, a knee injury that he came back from. He had surgery on. And so it's understandable that he's not ready right now. But again, you know, this organizational roster management when it comes to injury, you know, it does every once in a while cause you to ask if they're doing the roster management thing correctly. But again, they really wanted to get him practice time these last 4 weeks.
What is the number one thing that needs to change this weekend for the offense to get to just get going in any direction?
They need big plays. Like I feel like, Nick, we've been saying this for three, four weeks now. They need big plays. Quinshon Judkins has provided a couple of those on the ground, and hey, maybe they can lean on him a little bit on Sunday. You look good. His first outing in week two looked really good. His second outing almost had 100 yards against the Packers, last week. So hopefully that upward linear progression continues for him, and maybe he can help set something up when it comes to the passing game. But they just got to find a way to hit some big plays, because the Lions do. And again, you don't want to go into a game seeing ghosts or worrying about too much, trying to react to another team's output. But yeah, this is not going to be a game where I think they're going to be able to get away with scoring 13, 16, or 17 points in a game and expect that they're going to win. I think they're going to need to hit a season high for points, and that's going to be in the mid-20s at the least.
Darryl, do you believe that if Joe Flacco does not have a turnover-free game this Sunday, that Dillon Gabriel gets to start next week against the Vikings?
No. I think the only way that happens is if the Browns absolutely get smoked and run out of Ford Field. And Joe Flacco has like four interceptions and throwing a pick six in there. I think
playoff right Joe. Now,
I think that's just mean. I think that it has to be like a disaster of epic proportions right now for them to consider, a quarterback change, which, by the way, not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, Detroit's really good, all three phases, offense, defense, special teams. But I just don't get the sense that the Browns are itching to make a quarterback change right now. Here's another wrinkle to this, though. I do have a theory. I don't think it's going from Joe Flacco to Dillon Gabriel. I think if there's a quarterback change, I think you could see number four.
Darryl, it's Friday. I got a big weekend coming up. I got a football game tonight, high school football. Very excited for that one. Got a kid's birthday party tomorrow.
Did I just ruin your weekend for you?
I'm not done yet. We got homecoming tomorrow, okay? And then Sunday, I'm going to watch the Cleveland Browns play football. And I can't guarantee it won't be a blowout. And my reward for watching said blowout, if it goes that way, is that I get to watch Deshaun.
I'm not saying you're going to watch Ben Munded, but I'm saying at some point there could be a possibility where you see Deshaun Watson for a spell here.
You're instigating me on a Friday. That's what I'm understanding here.
The Instagram videos look spectacular. He's working them cones, man. The footwork looks good. He looks to be in pretty good health and ready. And the IR thing is up on Monday. So, that's going to be a question that's getting asked on Monday, is where's Deshaun? And are you going to activate him? Are you going to get him on, start the process to get him ready to be put on the field at some point? That's all coming up on Monday, I guarantee you.
Over under Jeff Shadell being the guy to ask it on Monday.
I was going to handicap me as being the guy that's going to ask.
Shadell is going to beat you to the punch. He might ask it post game on Sunday.
Well, I don't think he's going to be in Detroit Sunday, so I think that we'll be okay there. What it might be? It might be a race between like five of us to ask Kevin Stefanski that question on Monday.
Darryl?
Because you know what? No, I'm going to give you a little we were talking about it today. That's all I'm going to say.
Trying to make a man quit. That's what you're doing.
I'm thinking out loud as I'm talking to Nick and Darryl. It's crazy because isn't this the last week that Deshaun Watson is like on IR?
Has to be on. Yeah.
Has to be on IR.
Has to be on. Yeah, that, like I said, that's why we're going to ask on Monday. We're going to have a race to see who can ask Kevin Stefanski about Deshaun Watson's progress and readiness to be activated.
Does
on
that
Monday.
Mean
it's going to happen
that
on
this
Zoom.
Is going to now have to be? Listen, no. It's just.
You'll have content next week, Nick. Plenty of content.
I always have content. I'm not that hard up for content.
Oh, I know you're not. I'm just saying. It's just going to, you know, be.
If they put Deshaun Watson, and now you're going to make me do it. If they put Deshaun Watson on the field before Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, Bailey Zappi, or the ghost of Otto Graham, you think you've seen me mad before. And well, you do it in October? Oh, he better throw for 5,000 yards in a game.
Okay, G. Bush.
Like, he better be, we better be like, oh, my God, the body of Deshaun Watson has been inhabited by, like, the ghosts of all the previously great quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
Listen.
Like, angels in the outfield, but...
They still need to get the money out of that contract. Just saying.
No, they don't. 40, 50, no, you have an answer. It didn't work.
Wait a minute. You have an answer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. I'm sorry. I was like, wait a minute. There's an answer in that building right now? Where?
At what position?
Yeah. Well, I think they're pretty set at one of their defensive end spots. I think that guy's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty set at the cornerback spot, D-tackle. Too. I think they're feeling pretty good about that. A couple D tackles. They got some spots where there's a tight end, right? Hey, look, these rookies are playing really, really well. That's, you know, hopefully they can keep it going. And that's to provoke Nick further on a Friday. That's going to help Andrew Berry keep his job if these rookies keep playing like this.
That doesn't provoke me. That makes damn sense. But you know what you did. You know what you did?
Yes, I know. And
now
what I did.
I hope your weekend is merely substandard,
hey,
Daryl.
Hey, this is what Daryl did. Daryl was like, as I pour my nice shot of bourbon, I'm going to go ahead and just, boom, do this on a Friday.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm like the Joker and Batman, and here we go. Time to watch the world burn, or in this case, watch Nick burn.
People, this town is not ready for that show.
It's about to be a long two segments, man.
And I'll be honest with you, I will be walking everybody in that organization. It's a very short walk, by the way, because Marie and Brooke Parker right next to me. I will be walking them to the airport and shipping them out here. I'll be calling certain authorities handling illegal immigration on this organization, on everybody in this organization to ship them out of town. I'll get the National Guard. You know what, Daryl? It's lovely. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Have a great weekend, my brother.
With that, I leave you with that. Have a lovely weekend. Enjoy the football. And, of course, enjoy what feels like playoff baseball right now with the Guardians.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll react to it. We'll do it. We'll do it live in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.